Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
Mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Uncover a world of sensuality and pleasure with New Zealand's pioneering sex toy purveyors. Whether you seek excitement that leaves you wet, loud, or speechless, we have something for your every desire. Explore the world's best brands at your fingertips. Peachesandcream.co.nz, R18. Welcome to Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. I'm your maitre d', Stacey O, intimacy and relationship coach and culinary artist, and I'm bringing sex to the dinner table. On the menu is a selection of heart-to-hearts with people who vulnerably share their stories, insights, and perspectives. This podcast is about sex and so much more. We explore connection, letting go of judgment, and accepting ourselves exactly as we are. Let's dine. In this episode, I chat to queer rights activist Chenille Lal. Chenille is known for spearheading the movement to ban conversion therapy in New Zealand. Lal won New Zealander of the Year in 2023 and made history by becoming the first transgender person to win an award at the New Zealander of the Year Awards since its inception in 2010. Lal advised the Minister of Education for 3 years as a member of the Minister's Advisory Group, sat on Amnesty International's Youth Task Force, served as a global youth leader for Open Government Partnership, and as a young justice leader for New York University Center on International Cooperation. I had the honor of sitting down with Chenille over a bowl of chicken bun cha. We delved deep into their recently released book, One of Them, which is already making waves in stores. If you haven't grabbed yourself a copy yet, hop to it, sweeties. We dove into some steamy excerpts from Chenille's memoir, including their first romantic experience. They shared their experience with conversion therapy in Fiji, and we explored pivotal moments in their life journey, including when they first realized their attraction to boys and the critical importance of queer representation and why it matters so profoundly. It's great to have you here at the table. Let's get started.
Ooh, okay. I love the chicken already. The sesame seeds are great. Are those pineapples or capsicums?
No.
What are they?
Mangoes.
Oh, amazing.
Yes.
And I don't know what that is, a noodle kind of stuff.
Yes, vermicelli.
Okay, great. That's the first time I'm going to have that.
Is it really?
Yeah.
First time? Oh, okay, this is called bun cha. So it's like a chicken Vietnamese delicious dish with fresh mango salad. It's got greens from my dad's garden. It's got fresh herbs. And I thought it was good because you said...
Too many dietary requirements. Yeah.
So we made it work, you know?
Beautiful.
Yeah. Let me know how it goes.
And I get distracted with the food. And like, oh, you're here?
Oh, that's right. We're doing a podcast.
We're doing a podcast?
Yeah.
Oh, it's forgot.
Yeah.
What are they? Did you cut the chickens yourself? Were they...
So it's chicken mince.
Right, yeah.
And then I mix the chicken mince with some salt, ginger, garlic, a little bit of sweetness. And then you make it into little patties and then you fry it. And then... put all the fresh goodness with that. What kind of food do you normally eat? Take a moment. Be with it. Be present.
I eat a lot of rice. I have to eat rice every single day because I was born in the islands.
Yes.
And despite being skinny, my appetite is significant.
Yes.
And my metabolism, it devours. It's running at the speed of light.
I really can resonate with that.
And then I just can't put on any weight.
I really can resonate with that. I think it's a gift. And also for me, like a low blood sugar curse.
For me, it's like a low muscle curse.
Like it takes a lot.
Yeah. I mean, I do like about 120 squats a day.
What?
It's, yeah, I'm intense.
So impressive.
About 120 squats a day, every single day. I don't take breaks. Maybe that's the problem. And I lift tiny weights. And I'm making next to no muscle. And it's probably because I don't have much protein in my body.
You need more chicken. You need more chicken bun cha. First and foremost, welcome, Chanel. It's such an honor to have you here. And I'm so grateful that you've taken the time out of your day to come and spend an hour with me to talk pleasure and sex and romance and love.
Fab.
Yeah, so I guess how you came into my life, you've been very much in the forefront of my Instagram feed for the last sort of year or so, and recently more so with winning New Zealander of the Year and the Posey Parker fucking...
Yeah. Funny thing, this morning she got demonetized on YouTube. Brilliant.
Wow. Wow. Oh my God. So what does that mean for her?
It just means that she can't make any money from YouTube, which was one of her largest income streams. My favorite season is the Fall of Turfs. And we're in it. It's absolutely mind-blowing that she thought that she would come down to New Zealand where we're so chill and we look out for the most vulnerable and tell us that we should treat some people who belong to our community as less than. Didn't quite work out.
It didn't quite work out for her, did it? I went to that rally protest.
Yeah.
And I remember being amongst the trans rights activists and it being like so jolly and merry and something really beautiful to be a part of. And it felt like just everyone coming together and supportive and beautiful. And then I was with my friend Logan and I got in my car and we were driving up Queen Street and we didn't realize, but the parade was coming towards us and the police stopped our car and we were at the front of the whole parade coming towards the
Destiny
car.
Church, yep.
So Destiny's Church. Yeah. So it went from like, woo, to like the somber, like the Destiny's Church coming towards us. I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And all of them had the same signs that all been printed out for them.
Well, you know, if you ever want to know whether supporting Posey Parker is the right thing to do, I tell you, look at the kind of people she attracts. In Melbourne, she attracted Nazis. In Auckland, she attracted Brian Tamaki, who is strongly against abortion, strongly against women having equal rights to men, strongly against same-sex marriage. If that is the kind of people she continues to attract, surely she's not a good person.
Yeah, well, it was so interesting because suddenly Destiny's Church was coming towards us and then there was a friend of mine in the backseat of the car and she yelled out, trans rights are human rights. And I was like, oh no.
Shut up. No. They're not human rights. Oh, right. Okay. For the next hour, trans rights don't matter.
Yeah, I noticed myself freaking out because I felt like we didn't have our like protection of like the community. And then one of the women came to the car and she was like knocking on the door and she's like, put down your window. And so we put down our window and she said, we're not protesting against trans rights. We're protesting about the fact that we don't want sex education in schools. And she then went on to say it's toxic to have sex education in schools. And I just thought,
you know, the irony. if young people, particularly if young men are taught about consent, maybe would have less victims of sexual abuse. A lot of the times, RSE, which is Relationships and Sexuality Education, gets portrayed as we're telling young people to be gay. That's absolutely not the case. It contains a wide range of education, which includes consent. Right now, what we have in schools is teachers telling students how to put a condom on a banana. And even then, so many young boys don't know how to put a bloody condom on.
I know. And that's the thing. That's the sex education that we know. So the sex education we've all had has been really poor.
Yeah.
So I can see why you don't want it in the schools. But I'm also like, we need now more than ever to have better sex education everywhere.
Yeah. And, you know, you were just talking about this idea of, you know, you went from a really pleasant parade or really pleasant rally to this really somber Destiny's Church marching down the street. And I often think that these people often say that all the gays are going to hell. And when you look at the contrast of those two events, and I think that if all the gays are going to hell, that's where I want to be.
Yes.
Because truthfully, if I have to spend time with Destiny's Church in heaven, I'd rather be in hell.
Amen. Okay. So I'm so excited to have you here because specifically in this time of your life, you've just written a memoir. And you've shared with me that three of those chapters, oh my gosh.
At least three.
Absorb it, take it in.
Yes.
Take it all in with your eyeballs. It's a thing of beauty. You've shared that at least three of those chapters is all about sex, love, relating.
Well, yeah, I mean, the very first chapter that I really wrote about sexuality or the sexual awakening is chapter four, and it's called Sexual Awakening in the Underwear Aisle. Yes. And I don't know if you'd have to be a very specific type of gay to immediately understand what that means. And it's that when you're young and queer and you grow up in a conservative community, you do not have any representation of queer people, right? So you just think that you can't be queer. I mean, if you cannot see yourself represented in the world, you cannot imagine a future with you in it. And so I don't have any queer representation. So the first time I knew that I was attracted to men is when I walked into the underwear aisle into a clothing store and there was Marky Mark in his underwear and his bulge was staring at me.
Yes.
And I was like this young kid and I was like, what? Who are these like Greek gods? And I was immediately like, okay, I like them.
I like Marky Mark too.
I love these men who are modeling for Calvin Klein or whatever they call it. And that's the chapter about, you know, the sexual awakening in the underwear aisle, which is, I think, one of my favorite chapters because it goes precisely where I was like, oh, God, this is really confusing because for so long I had no representation. But my very first representation is just like this really sexual one.
Yes. And how old were you when you were walking into the underwear store?
Oh, God, how old was I? Page 35.
Marky Mark by your side.
Marky Mark. Oh, my God, who else was there? Let me see. I've written about the people. David Beckham was modeling for Emporio Armani. He was, David Beckham was like in his peak back then. Lots of models. And you just kind of have to look at the packages on the packages.
Yeah. Okay, so you discovered that Marky Mark and David had ignited something deep with them.
Yes.
In that underwear store one fine day.
Yes.
And then what happened from there?
Well, you know, I'd already been in what's called conversion therapy before I'd even realized I was gay because I was quite a feminine kid growing up. So because I grew up in a collectivist community, anyone could look after anyone's children without their parents' consent, right? It was just what you did in a collectivist village in Fiji, its culture. So my elders were already trying to convert me, and the way that they got me in was that they said, if you do not change, then your family will disown you and your community will banish you and you will burn in hell for the rest of eternity. And so as a kid who knew nothing outside his village, I was like, of course I'm going to try to do whatever I can to remain a part of this family and this community. So I was already trying to change. So my conversion therapy started with just benign prayers. And then it became anything but benign. It started with prayers and then started with things like, you know, wearing enchanted bracelets. So funny story.
Wow.
But, well, not so funny, but this is funny. My neighbor was known to be a voodoo queen or black magic, as they call it in Western countries. So she was known to be so powerful that she could melt people with her black magic. And rumors had it that she had made me gay.
Oh, my God.
So if I wore enchanted bracelets, it would rid me of the evil spirits that were apparently making me gay. So it was prayers,
these bracelets and then other things. But I mean, it didn't, all the other things happened after this. So when I went into that underwear aisle and my body was going through changes, quite literally, and wow. I was like, oh, this is a very confusing experience, because how is my body so attracted to this thing? And it's so natural to me. It's I've never seen any representation of queer people. I've never been told by any queer person that I could be queer. I've never seen any two men kiss. I've none of that. There was no queer existence. And I'm still queer. How is it possible that this is happening to me so naturally? And I was like, my village elders are trying to convert me. What is the last line I wrote in that chapter, page 35? Let's go. And it says, in the coming days, I return to the underwear aisle. The underwear aisle has me lost in the seduction of the bulge. I am drawn to the underwear aisle and I have no control over it. For so long, I've wanted to understand who I am attracted to. I think I'm attracted to men. The elders are trying to rid me of my attraction to men. Should I let them continue? And that's where I end that chapter. And so at that point in my life, I'm having this little bit of an internal battle as though, do I let the elders try to continue converting me? Mm-hmm. Or do I start exploring something that comes to me so naturally? That's the first chapter. That's the first chapter on finding my sexuality.
Oh, my God. Okay, take a bite. Take a bite.
Or 10.
Take a bite or 10. Okay, so, wow, I have so many questions. First of all, how did you find the courage to go against the grain and go against, I guess, your elders and this ultimate basic need of belonging in your community? Like, what gave you the courage to start?
I think the chapter right after it is called, it's lyrics from Lady Gaga's Telephone song. So after the chapter I wrote about the sexual awakening in the underwear aisle, my conversion therapy got ramped up. And so it went from just benign prayers to wearing enchanted bracelets to now.
So this is one-on-one therapy with like
I mean, it's called conversion therapy, but it's anything but therapy.
Okay.
So yeah, and it's done with a lot of the really elder church leaders or temple leaders. So it now is ramped up from praying to enchanted bracelets to now something that you would describe as evasion therapy. So essentially, they tell you to wear a rubber band, and every time you have a queer thought, a queer feeling, a queer attraction, you snap yourself with a rubber band and your body elicits pain. So your queerness does not cause you pain. Snapping yourself with a rubber band does. After multiple pairings of your queerness and snapping yourself with a rubber band, your queerness starts to elicit pain.
Wow.
Because you've trained your brain to elicit pain every single time you have a queer thought or queer feeling. So that's where we were going, right? So accepting that you're queer becomes a punishment in itself.
Oh my God.
So that's where we were heading before. And then after that, it was just physical violence, just proper beatings. And so that's when I wrote that chapter.
So the head of the church would give you physical beatings?
Yeah, yeah.
Beat it out of you, essentially.
Yeah, and they were trying to... They were really trying hard because, I mean, when the prayers were not working and the enchanted bracelets were not working and the evasion therapy was not working, so they were like, what's left? Let's start beating you up. And so, and that in chapter 5 of the book, when I, as the first time, I get introduced to Lady Gaga. And the first song I saw of Lady Gaga was Telephone, and she was just, you know, in tape around her nipples, and she wore tapeless underwear, and she was just lying in the prison cell with her legs up, and I was like, oh, brilliant. I love it. I want to be her.
Yes.
And so I think with Lady Gaga, I think a lot, Lady Gaga is really, truly loved by the queer community, but I think for me it was so personal because she was kind of a freak, but she was really loved for being a freak. Then I kind of got a little bit of like a glimpse of hope, and I realized that maybe there's a world out there where you can be different, where you can be a freak, and instead of being punished, you will be celebrated and loved. And it was that the little glimpse of hope that I kind of held onto.
Yeah.
And I don't know how. I mean, I can't get back into the head of that little kid, but I'm glad that kid did.
Wow. I just got shivers through my whole body.
Yeah, and so you know, and at the same time, Justin Bieber came around.
Yes.
So this was, I think, 2010 or between 2010 and 2012. Justin Bieber released the song Baby.
Yeah.
And all the girls, oh my God, I just burped into your mic.
I actually did a little burp at the same time.
Yeah. Sorry, audience.
It's all welcome.
Sorry, fans.
It's all welcome.
Anyway, so Justin Bieber had released a song, Baby, and all the girls were crazy for him. And I was like, yeah, he's cute. But I really liked Lady Gaga, and so people were like, which girl are you attracted to? And I'd just be like, Lady Gaga. And they'd think that, you know, I like Lady Gaga. And I was like, no, I want to be her. Mm. I want to be the person who's tying men to their bed and then burning them.
Yes!
Because in the song, the next song I listened after Telephone was Bad Romance.
Mm.
And Bad Romance is where Lady Gaga ties her, I don't know, boyfriend, daddy, whatever she wanted to call him, into the bed as like a bondage thing, and then just sets the bed on fire. And I was like, wow, chic.
Fuck, that's hot. She is Cheers. So cool, isn't she? She's the coolest.
I mean, she has a problematic past, but, you know, who doesn't?
Who doesn't?
If you held me accountable for the things I did and said at 18, you'd have to cancel me.
Well, how old are you now?
23.
Wow.
I know. I book at 23.
Wow. You're killing it. You're absolutely bloody killing it. I actually think I had a book at 23. No brags over here, but
yeah,
my cookbook.
Brilliant.
I started my business at 21.
I mean, the thing is, young people are so intelligent and brilliant. We just don't get celebrated enough, right?
We celebrate ourselves.
Yeah, we have to. I am my mother.
Mm-hmm. We must. Okay, so Lady Gaga came on the scene. You were like, I want to be this woman.
Yeah.
I want to fuck Marky Mark. I want to be Lady Gaga.
Well, Marky Mark, I didn't want to fuck.
Oh, but you felt something ignited.
I didn't know gay sex was a thing.
Mm.
I mean, I'd never even been introduced to the idea of gay sex or masturbation.
Oh my God, your radar. Idea.
That's the first time my body was like, ooh, something's changing.
What is this feeling?
Yeah.
Wow, okay.
So that's the first time. So I didn't even know you could have sex, right? Because no one teaches you that humans have sex.
Oh my God, okay. So you were 12 and you...
Probably younger than 12, actually.
Okay.
Puberty happened quite early, but learning how to have sex or having sex didn't happen early because it was just something that did not exist.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So you felt this like igniting of your pleasure or desire come through as you were in the store. You were idolizing Lady Gaga as a bit of an icon. And then what then?
It's so funny that I've forgotten the story of my life. I have to often go back to the book and be like, so what happened?
I love it so much.
Oh, there we go. Right after the Lady Gaga chapter is the chapter 6 called Am I a Homosexual?
Mm.
And that's a brilliant chapter. It's the first time I watched porn, and I was about 11 years old, I think, when I first got exposed. Because I think a lot of church elders and my teachers really thought that they were protecting us from the outside world. But about the age of 11, my dad bought us a laptop because the Fijian education system was changing from exams to assignments.
Mm.
And you needed to type your assignments. You needed to do research. So we needed a laptop. And you get like these little USB sticks called internet sticks to use the internet.
Yeah.
And because I'd been to the underwear aisle, because I was listening to Lady Gaga, I was like, two boys kissing. I Googled it.
Mm.
And came rushing at me porn.
Wow.
Because that's what comes at you when you put two boys kissing.
Yes.
And the relevant searches also searched for came words like gay and homosexual.
Mm.
And I was like, what is this? What is gay? What is homosexual? And so I Googled what is gay and what is homosexual. And that's the first time I'd properly learned these words and the definitions.
Wow.
And then naturally, from learning about gays, I was like, okay, am I gay? And then the quizzes come up, right? And then you do the Am I Gay quiz, and it was like fabulously 100% gay or something. And I was like, then I must be gay.
Yes, I'm fabulously not the fact 100%.
That not the fact that my body is like, oh, I'm attracted to this man.
No,
it was like a Google quiz. Yeah. It wasn't my attraction to men. It was just a quiz told me I'm gay, so I just became gay. And then I applied for a registration, and they sent me my card in 2 weeks, and I was officially gay.
Wow.
Before that, I was allegedly gay. Normally, they call queer people are called card holders.
Oh.
So it's just like you're queer, so you're a card holder of the community. It's a stupid thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
Wow. Oh my God. Okay. Thank God for those quizzes.
Yeah. Free registration, I think. Yes. But I think I would like to put a fee on it. And then naturally from the Am I Gay quizzes. Funny thing though, because I did not know how to use incognito. So those searches were there. And when you go into websites like Am I Gay quizzes, then they start advertising you. It was terrorizing me on every website I went to. Like you went and Googled, you went on Gmail and it would come. And I was like, oh God, what if it advertises with someone else that uses a laptop?
Oh my God.
And so I was like, what do I do? What do I do? And so I would like go and play a game so all the data would get used.
You're like, we need to change. We need to deter it.
We need a deflection. Let's use all the data up. No one uses the internet.
Oh my goodness. Okay.
And then from the Am I Gay, I went back to the two boys kissing and I was introduced to this world of porn, like hardcore. You know, I often joke that heterosexual children get representation that is warm and fuzzy. You see heterosexual couples shopping in the supermarket for their kids, taking their children to school, going for family dinners. I learned I was gay by watching one man rail another.
That is so true. I've never thought about that.
I was like, oh God, what a different experience. Because heterosexual kids, they're learning all about their sexuality and the idea that they could have a family by just watching the world.
Whoa, just watching The Lion King.
So they don't even think, it's so common that they don't even ever think about it unless someone like myself tells them, right?
That is really, really interesting.
And there I was, I think... Oh my God. It's so funny. It says the website asks me, are you over the age of 18? I click yes, hoping the government does not have a way to watch me. And then it says that I've named some porn stars that I was actually watching. It was really interesting because when I started watching porn, there were so many categories. Like I've written about like hardcore and orgy and cruising and frat boys and vintage and mature. And to my surprise, homeless. Who was making porn of home?
Wow.
Disgusting behavior. Yeah, so
wow.
While watching one man pound another, I asked myself, am I a homosexual?
And the answer was...
No, I'm not.
It's a no.
Absolutely not. I will not engage with this filth. Ban homosexuality.
Oh my gosh, this is...
No, wow. No. I was like, oh God, this is me.
Wow.
While the village elders were thinking that they were protecting children from the outside world, the outside world was infiltrating my life.
Okay, so the outside world was infiltrating your life. The village elders were trying to convert you from your natural state.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you go from there?
I'm going to have to consult the book again. I'm truthfully always like, I don't know. I'm just having to refer to the book.
I honestly feel like so deeply honored right now that I'm getting a live one-on-one book reading from you right now.
And the next chapter is called Rebel. And this is when, see, all I need is the chapter name and I remember everything. So I was in about year 6 or year 7 and I'd made a gay friend. And then suddenly our duo was up to a trio. Another gay student had joined schools and we were kind of like the mean girls. And I, of course, ended up being the head cheerleader.
Regina George.
Yeah, I was leading the troop. Yes. There were three of us. And as a drama assignment, we decided to role play Twilight. So Twilight was a big deal when I was in year 7.
Oh my God. I was
and I believe it was, what are the name of the characters? Jacob?
Bella, Edward, Jacob.
Yeah, Jacob is the wolf, isn't he?
Jacob's the wolf.
Yeah, so Edward and Bella, of course, get married. And we turned the script and we got Jacob and Edward married.
Oh, hot.
Well, yeah, for us, but not for them. And when we were doing it, everyone was a little confused because they were like, what in the hell? What in the homosexual activity is going on here?
So you presented this for the class.
Yeah, we were doing it as our drama assignment. So it started off with confused faces.
Yeah.
So then anger. And the teacher was furious. And then we got taken to the principal's office and we got a beating. But no matter how hard he beat us that day, he could not wipe our smirk off. Because we knew we'd antagonize them. And we knew that we had communicated to them that they were failing And my principal's secretary was quite an accepting woman. And she was like, you know what? I'm going to call their parents. You don't have to.
Mm.
And then she never called our parents. Mm. So that's how we kind of did not get expelled.
Wow.
Because they would have thrown us out of the school for doing that. They totally would have. I went to a hardcore Christian school. And so our parents never find out about that. But a few days later, I think one of the parents for one of my friends comes to school and then they find out that that's happened. Mm. And then one of my friends just kind of disappears for a very long time. And we're like, where's he gone? Because we didn't have a phone.
Mm.
He wasn't active on Facebook. Mm. So we couldn't message him through the laptop. And we were like, what is happening? Mm. And a few days later, he comes back and he's got bruises and stuff. And we're like, oh, what's happening? And I'd realized that, oh, his conversion therapy had started. And so I guess it was really, we were rebelling for liberty, but it ended up costing us our friend's safety in a way. And then he was like, no, we can't be friends.
Whoa.
Which I completely understood because I was in conversion therapy at the time as well. And I knew it was brutal.
Mm.
It just happened that I was kind of made of, I don't know, vibranium, if that was a real
Yeah.
And he wasn't.
Like this rebelliousness or this sense of wanting to liberate yourself was just so deeply strong within stronger than the forces outside.
Yep.
And what do you think you put that down to? Like, where do you think you get that streak?
I think queer people have always been fighters, right?
Mm.
You go back into history, we have fought for every single thing we have today. And I think it was just innate.
Mm.
I go back to the Stonewall, it was a fight.
Mm.
You know, you go back to the AIDS pandemic, people fought to live, fought to keep alive. You go back to the decriminalization of homosexuality, people fought to be treated as not criminals.
Mm.
And then you come to conversion therapy, we fought to have that banned. I think my life has been a series of fighting, and it started really young.
Wow.
And so I think it was innate, or perhaps it was just some spiritual hint for me to get ready for the life that was to come.
Yes.
Yeah.
Fuck.
So that was primary school.
Wow. I just need to take a moment to digest. This is so...
Me too, because I've been eating.
Yeah, you get it in, yeah. Okay, so You've started a queer twilight movement at the school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your besties.
Gay.
Been.
Wolves. And vampires.
Yes. Your besties been sent to conversion therapy. You're still in conversion therapy at this point. At what point do you break free?
Well, funny enough, in the next chapter. Maybe I'll give you this to read.
Mm.
It's called Summer of 14. Oh, there we go. I think from all to look up.
Okay.
And I'll eat while you read that.
Okay. All the straight students around me are starting to feel warmly about other students. High school is a time for students to explore relationships and to act on the butterflies in their stomach. I feel lonely now that the few friends I have are in relationships and spending all their time with their boyfriends. They have no time for me. They run away to their boyfriends as soon as the recess and lunch bell rings, and I am left to eat my lunch alone until the day I meet him. I feel like I'm reading Twilight. He is leaning on one of the small bandstand-like shelters when my eyes lock with his dreamy brown eyes. The world seems to have stopped. My sulu blowing gently in the wind, his shirt hugging him tightly across his toned body, a packet of tomato-flavored chow noodles in my hands, and a Coke in his. He pushes his black hair back off his face, and I feel lightning strike into my body. I become hot and pink, like fireworks have gone off on my face. The maddening sound of the bell ending the break and the rustling noise of students rushing back to class begins to distract me, permeating the tension between us. Something about him is so captivating. I can't turn away. He raises his eyebrow, shapes his lips into an inviting smile, and waves at me. And I feel a warm electric tingle. He is trouble. Suddenly, the summer of 2014 is starting to look up.
Yeah.
together.
This is the beginning of the hottest, sexiest.
Yeah, yeah.
Erotic novel, it feels.
Yeah, it's. And when I was writing this, I was like, oh my God, I can really write.
You can write, honey. You like, can write.
I wrote this book myself. I don't have a ghostwriter. So, you know, suddenly it was someone that I was attracted to and someone that was attracted to me.
Wow.
And, you know, it was just overwhelming feeling. I had absolutely no control about how attracted I was to him.
Mm.
And I was like, I really, really love this.
Mm.
And I want to explore this. So there I was at 14 thinking, one, I'm not going to make it past this age because, trigger warning, I'd attempted suicide twice before getting to 14.
Mm.
And then I found someone that made me so happy.
Mm.
I was like, do I want to die or do I want to see what could happen here?
Mm.
And I think I knew there was no future for us, but I didn't care.
Mm.
Right? It's when they say love is blind, I was blinded to the injustices of the world and the oppressions of the world. I was, you know, this is what I want and I'm going to have it.
Mm.
And so... And so I was like, you know what? And then we started meeting, right? There was an empty lawn behind my classroom and no one really went there because everyone either went to the gardens, went to the cafeteria area, or they went down to the rugby fields.
Mm-hmm.
No one went to the boring empty lawn because there was nothing there. And so that's where he and I, what do I call him in the book? I had to change his name.
Mm.
I call him Zahid, but I had to change his real name because obviously... Can't.
Yes, can't expose.
Yeah. So he and
Zahid.
I. Yeah. He was a very tall, very light skinned Muslim guy.
Mm.
And the reason why I had to specify his religion in the book is because in Fiji, there's quite a bit of racial tension and there's quite a bit of tension between religious groups, right? Mm-hmm. So Hindus wouldn't really marry into Muslim family. It's just somehow they don't do it. But I was raised by a Muslim woman who happened to be my mum's best friend and relative.
Mm.
So anyway, it didn't bother me. The religion didn't bother me. But the reason I pointed out is because it is something that bothers the rest of the people that were around me.
Yes.
And so that would have been a problem had this person been a girl.
Yes.
So this Zahid and I, we started hanging out. And then we started hanging out for a long time. And then I think the rumors started getting out there that two of us, for two people who were not in the same year level, were hanging out too much. And so I had a friend at the time who was a girl and she was accepting and she was like, you know what? Why don't we act like we are in a relationship? So we changed our Facebook status and now I'm in a relationship with a girl.
Wow.
And so essentially pretend heterosexuality hides my real relationship.
Wow.
So that the two of us do not get in trouble.
Mm.
But then I was still in conversion therapy. So the thing that was happening in conversion therapy at this point was essentially exorcisms. So pressing crosses on your head or your chest and hitting you with Bibles and or reading Bible verses. So now the conversion therapy was taking the form of exorcisms. Anyway, so we were behind the school lawn and... suddenly we hear some noise and it's the religious teachers, the religious leaders coming through with a bunch of senior boys. And that's when we got caught. And that was probably one of the worst beatings we had gotten. But the thing was that
hooking up?
Well, no, we were just cuddling.
Out. Yeah. Yeah.
And you wouldn't do that. And because they were already suspicions and doubts, that was all the evidence they needed to confirm it.
Wow.
And so... for me, I'd been accustomed to the beatings, right? I knew what was coming. I was used to it and I wasn't really shaken. But for Zahid, because he was a rather masculine and passed for a heterosexual man, it was the first time. And that would have terrified the living hell out of him.
Mm.
And it was the middle of 2014. And then my dad abruptly moved to New Zealand.
Mm.
And so did the rest of my family. And so while I was thinking I was not going to make it past the age of 14, I'd suddenly just been taken out of conversion therapy unintentionally and moved to New Zealand.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's like a lifeline was handed to
you.
Yeah,
I always call it a lifeline.
And then what about Zahid, the leaving of Zahid when you were suddenly taken out? Was that like, a heartbreaking moment, or was that like...
Yes, because I was 14. He was, I think, 17.
Older man. Hot. Hot Daddy. When you're that age, you're just like... It's so horny.
I'm into it. Anyway, so into it. I just had to be like, I'm going. And he was like upset and then angry, but then he knew that I had to go.
Mm-hmm.
And he probably is leading some heterosexual life now.
Wow.
Because I don't imagine he would have gotten to live his life as a openly gay man. So he's probably taking Viagra and having sex with women.
Fuck.
I mean, that's what the closeted gays do, right?
So you've never kept in touch?
No, because at 14, I'd moved abruptly and I came to this strange country and... It was just things had dramatically changed for me in a 3-hour flight.
Okay, so then you landed in New Zealand, and then what was relating and intimacy like from that moment on? And what kind of schooling system were you in when you got here? And did you still have to go to conversion therapy here?
No, so I moved in 2014, and I moved into South Auckland, Ōtara, the heart of South Auckland. And there wasn't really a cultural shock for me because I went from a Pacific Island to a suburb that was dominated by Pacific Islanders.
Yeah.
So not really a cultural shock, but more so that it was really cold. I couldn't go outside barefoot because there were broken glasses all over the footpath.
Mm.
You didn't know your neighbors. Mm. I was like, oh, now you kind of move from this collectivist community to this very individualized, every man for himself kind of community. And I guess that was the only big difference. But then I went to Otahuhu College, and I think there's always a question, and it always starts with, can I ask you something? And if you're a gay person, or if you're a trans person, if you're a queer person, if someone asks you, can I ask you something, the next question is obviously, are you gay? And so when those questions started, I just shut them down, because obviously no one at high school knew that I was gay, because I was just a new student. And I was so overtly feminine, people assumed that I would be, right? And chapter 10 is called My Closet is Burning. And and the reason why I wrote The Closet is Burning is because I didn't really come out by choice. I remember in my year 11 class, there was a boy who was an extremist Christian, and we were writing speeches in our English class, and he was writing about the importance of religion and the importance of God, and he used to antagonize me by, you know, making homophobic statements. And so one day he just said outright that, you know, the gays are going to hell. And I was like, okay, that's great, but your God doesn't exist and I do, so deal with that. And for someone who had grown up so sheltered and never questioned about his religion, that was a real hit for him. And so he makes a fist and it heads towards me and is thumping on my table. And you know what? At that point, I get up too. And we're engaging in this debate and exchanging insults. We're banging the table. And at a certain point, I'm just surrounded by all the rugby boys, because one of the boys, the boy that I was fighting with, was in the rugby team. And I was like, you know what? If I don't stop, they're going to beat me. But I just could not get myself to stop.
Wow.
And it was just really heated argument. And it ended with this guy just picking a chair up and aiming at me. And in that moment, I'd realized, enough, I've had it. I thought that coming out and living as an openly queer person would make me subject to abuse. I'm not out and I'm still subject to abuse. So let it all burn. And I think in that fight or in that moment, I'd exposed myself as a raging queer and my walls were burned down and there was no more hiding for me. Too late. And I guess that's how I kind of came out.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I have so many tingling sensations in my body. That is like, okay, so how old were you in that moment? 14, 15?
No, I would have been 16 because I was year 11.
16.
Yeah.
It's like you're getting this abuse regardless, so fuck it.
May as well stop hiding.
Yeah, here I am, bitches. No. Wow. Okay, and from that moment on, how did it feel at school and with your family?
I never actually came out to my family.
Yeah.
I still haven't. I mean, how do I need
to? Yeah. Will they read your book?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I think the coming out to my family was a really interesting one. I cooked up this theory in my head that if my sister doesn't have to come out as heterosexual, then why do I have to come out as gay? Mm. But I think I was just hiding my real reasons for not coming out behind that theory. And it was just that I'd spent so much of my childhood being what others would consider a victim of abuse. And I just didn't want to put myself back in a situation where I could be again a victim of any kind.
Mm.
So I was like, you know what? I could potentially be disowned by my parents, and I don't want to be at 16. So I just was like, you know what? My sister didn't come out, so why would I? And I think that made me feel less bad or less guilty about not coming out.
Mm-hmm. So you came out to the school, but I didn't, not at home.
Well, I didn't really come out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. It was just that fight was like,
this is me.
Yeah.
Without explicitly being like.
Because it was very much an argument about whether gays are going to hell.
Yes. Okay. Whoa. What was it like then at high school with relating?
It was interesting, right? Because I'd never really been attracted to any of the boys in my school.
Mm.
And I think it was also really difficult to be gay when the very people that I was attracted to were the reason for most of my abuse. I was attracted to men, and all my life it was men who caused me the most distress. It was such a confusing part of my life. It was like, how could I be attracted to the very people that are the reason why I feel so miserable all the time? And I think that took me a long time to figure out. Still haven't figured it out, because why am I attracted to men?
It would be way easier.
Yes. And
way easier, wouldn't it? I think that for myself often.
Yeah. So, but, you know, there was undoubtedly sexual tension between me and a lot of the rugby boys. Because it wasn't possible. It just wasn't possible that I was the only gay student in the entire school.
Yes.
There was tension. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of the times those closeted gays turn into bullies. Because they're like, oh, if I bully the gays, then people are going to think that I'm actually uber heterosexual and I just really hate the idea of being gay. Yeah. I mean, obviously, mostly the heterosexual kids were bullies, but some of the closeted ones were too.
Mm. Okay, and so where are you at now? Are you in a relationship? Are you dating?
I'm not dating.
What's your status?
Funny thing, I was in the Buzz the other day and I saw an ad that said, date my son for a car. And in that moment, I'd realized that I've wasted all my life dating men for free when I could really be collecting cars.
Yes. Okay. And you mentioned
so much loss of capital.
Oh my God. You mentioned that you consider yourself a bit of a late bloomer when it comes to sex and relating.
Yeah.
And that people that could have been a hit earlier on in life came too soon.
Oh, yeah.
Can you elaborate?
Well, let's go back to losing my virginity. Yes. And it's the chapter called In the Mood for Sex, chapter 15.
Mm-hmm.
What a nine. Where is this sex chapter?
This feels like a climax moment.
It is a climax moment. I'll give it to you to read again.
Mm-hmm.
It's from He Brings Fried Chicken to Moan.
He Brings Fried Chicken to Moan. Okay. He Brings Fried Chicken. We sit on the bed facing each other. I've just started to grow my hair out. He pushes my hair back with his right hand tickling my face. He leans in and asks, may I? I take a deep breath in, drop my head down and lean in. He lifts my chin with his left hand, cupping my face with his right. He starts playing with my earring, twisting the stud in my freshly pierced ear. My neck squirms like a worm out of pain. Does it hurt? He asks. A little. I respond. He stops. His face travels close to mine. Is it okay? He asks again, trying to comfort me. Yes, I say. I feel his seductive breath on my face. He kisses my shoulder and my body twitches. He runs his lips up my neck and before making it to my ear, he bites me gently. I want more. He knows what he's doing. Me? Not so much. I moan as he kisses my neck. He stops and looks in my eyes. His eyes exude patience and safety. He places my left hand on his chest. I can feel warmth blossom there. I place my right hand on the back of his head. My forehead joins his. We roll our faces up. Our noses meet first, and then our lips. His lips are soft, but his mustache rough. He presses his cushioned lips on my disproportionately large ones. I part my lips ever so slightly, allowing his tongue to slip inside. I close my eyes, and the warmth consumes us.
Oh my God, this is so beautiful.
He pushes me down on the bed and I fumble to take off my shirt. He pulls my pants down. I rip his clothes off like the underwear package I bought from Jack's. We lie in bed bare. His finger brushes my nipples and he turns me on. I feel his warm body above me. He caresses my thighs as he begins to slowly thrust inside me. Our hearts thud as one. Our bodies press together, the heat nearly melting us into one. He is moving faster now. He holds my hand firmly, pressing his impossibly soft lips on mine. I start to enjoy the feel of his coarse moustache. He rests his body on his right elbow, slides his hand behind my head, and gently pulls my hair. I release all my stress in a moan.
And there we go.
That is so beautiful.
Well, that's... Oh. I couldn't believe I could write about sex.
Wow. I mean, this is a new career path for you, actually. Yeah. You could start writing erotic novels. The world is your oyster.
There we go. That's me losing my virginity.
Oh, well, if that my God.
Thing exists, really.
Wow. How did it feel reliving that and writing that?
In hindsight, I'd learned so much because in the moment, obviously, I didn't know how my conversion therapy was still controlling my life. The aversion therapy, right? Because the whole point of the aversion therapy was to make queer experiences really painful. And so when the first time I was touched by Theo,
yeah,
I had almost a nauseous reaction. I wanted to throw up because it was so... The idea of that interaction was just so evasive to me. But then over time, the link between queerness and pain weakened, and then that link got replaced by something that was analogous to love and joy.
Wow.
And so...
And pleasure.
Yeah, so that happened.
Wow.
And I was like, oh God, am I free? And I think I end the chapter. I think this is probably my favorite quote from the entire book, and it says, "I can finally look in the mirror and tell myself that I'm queer. I am queer like the sky is blue and grass is green. I'm queer like summer is hot and winter is cold. I'm queer because I have survived. I'm queer because I'm strong. I'm queer because I am not ashamed. I'm queer because I refuse to live a lie. I am deeply, deeply and relentlessly queer." And I think that was kind of my point where I was like, you know what? When I was 16, I'd accepted that I was queer, but I wasn't confident or proud about it. At 19, I was like, you know what? This is who I am.
Yes.
And I love it. Yeah. So, and I guess so sex was so instrumental to that.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yep. I love every little inch of what you're saying right now. And the rewriting of the pathways that you're speaking of, the sense of queerness being essentially pain prior to that moment of being like, wow, I've actually just, I've changed the meaning of that for me.
Yeah.
And that being this deep liberation in the body and beyond and really owning yourself from there and like, wow, what a journey.
Yeah, a very sexual one.
hot. Whoa. All right. On the topic of sex, we're going to move on to the next segment, which is a very special segment of the show. It's called What's in My Box.
Okay.
What's in my box?
Hello, hello.
If I can have your consent, please close down the eyes.
Okay.
Okay, the rules are if you guess what's in the box correctly, you get to keep it. You get to take it home today. If you get it incorrect, we're going to send it to your ex-boyfriend.
Well, we'll find out in a minute if you like it.
Yes, perfect. Perfect. Okay, so please pop your hands in and have a little reach around.
God, this feels like a bloody sword. Oh my God.
Okay, what's your sensory experience?
This is just spank someone. I was going to say a spatula.
It could be anything.
I mean, it is. I don't know what the name is, but it's you spank people. You spank people with this.
Yes! That was so good! It's a spanking pedal!
I knew, I was like, I immediately, I was like, ooh! Was it, I know exactly what
I know this
is.
The subject. Oh my god, yes! You get to keep that, honey. That's all yours.
It's mine, and I may use this on my ex-boyfriend.
Yes! I honestly saw it in the shop and I thought this is right for you.
Well deserved for him.
Yes.
Deserves a beating.
He deserves a spanking.
I immediately, when I was like, it's flat. What could it possibly be? Because I was like, obviously, it's not a sword. A flat thing couldn't go up your butt.
No. Well, exactly.
And so I was like, well, what could it be? Obviously, an external item.
Can a sword go up your butt?
Maybe. A sword go inside you?
Yeah. Really,
if you're a bit mad, I guess.
Well, people do that.
Well, yeah.
Sword throat. But I don't know about putting a sword up your asshole.
Yeah, and I don't believe those swords are ever sharp.
Real.
Yeah, I don't.
I've had this conversation with someone the other day and I don't know. But no, they're definitely real.
They're not sharp.
But they're not sharp.
Because irrespective of how strong your throat is, a sharp knife would cut your...
Slice your insides.
Yeah, it would immediately. There's absolutely no... How would you hold it?
No, they're blunt. They've got to be blunt.
That's rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Oh, that's why I was like, you know, I'm personally impressed with the ability to not gag on it.
Yeah, as am I. Yeah, I have the world's ultimate gagging reflex.
So do I. I'm bad.
It really holds me back.
It doesn't hold me back. I just need to be held down, but that's a different...
that's a conversation for later.
Yeah.
Okay, I've got one final question.
Okay, there we go.
Okay. If you could give your younger self one piece of advice in the realms of sex, love, relating, what would it be?
Oh God, in terms of sex, I would say watch less porn because that's not real and just give it a go. So now, I think everyone has insecurities.
Yeah.
And I feel like I've wasted too much time focusing on my own. So focus less time on your problems.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I love that answer so much. Okay, well, we're going to wrap it up here because...
Brilliant.
Thank you so much for your time. Oh, thank you. Janelle, that was honestly an emotional roller coaster hearing your story, and I just feel so honored to have shared that with you and to have been able to read the erotic excerpts of your memoir. It was really a gift. So.
Thank you.
Thanks for dining with Finger Food, empowered by Peaches and Cream. If you liked this conversation, you can tip your maitre d' by subscribing, following, downloading, leaving a review, and sharing this podcast with your friends. If you want to work with me one-on-one or listen to more of my podcasts, go to stacyogorman.com or follow us on Instagram at finger.food.podcast. Stay safe, stay sexy. See you soon.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.